glad my sins are gone tonight, aren't you? Amen. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And so that's something to praise Jesus for. Amen. You say, what happened to them? Well, they were born on the body of Christ. He bore our burden. He carried our shame. He suffered our pain and our penalty for our sin. Amen. How many are you thankful tonight that your sins are gone? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have anything tonight before we preach? Got a message I'm excited to share with you what the Lord's given to me tonight. But maybe you've got something on your heart before we go any further in service. Tillman, you have anything tonight, brother? We've already went through all that. You've already sang. All right. Well, praise God. Anybody else have something tonight? What'd you sing, Tillman? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just need to move on, don't I? Just move forward. Amen. Anybody else have anything tonight? God been good to you. Amen. That's right. Amen. If they were just covered up, they'd still be there. That's the Old Testament principle of atonement. But I'm thankful for the new principle of redemption. Amen. They've been washed away. They've been removed, eradicated, done away with, past, present, and future. Amen. The devil has no evidence against me. Amen. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. Praise God. Anybody else this evening? Pam, play one for me before I preach.
This water, my Lord, have to as clear as crystal, and it comes from all above. Help me out, somebody. The words are wrong. You don't ever want to depend on Wikipedia. Hallelujah.
If I'd have started reading them, I'd have been speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So, amen. But we got the point across, right? I'm thankful for the water of life tonight, aren't you? Thankful for Jesus. Amen. He thirsted. He was deprived so that my thirst might be quenched and that my soul might be satisfied. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Jesus went without so that I could have. Amen? What a blessing that is. All right, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 26 tonight. Genesis chapter number 26. Excited about the message. If you found your place, say amen. And there was a famine in the land. Sound familiar? beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. And I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister, for he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she's thy wife, and how saidest thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lien with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and called the name of it Sitma. And he removed from thence, and he digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and Isaac's servant, he digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Pekol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto him, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. But thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. Amen. And he called it Sheba, therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which was a grief of mine unto Isaac and unto Rebekah. With the Lord's help tonight, we'll preach on this thought, the wells of Isaac. Father in heaven, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the water of life that's been given to us. Lord, I'm thankful that you were willing to suffer without so that we could have what we so desperately needed. And Lord, I'm thankful that the water that you give to us is a well. Lord, it's a well that cannot, Lord, be exhausted. Lord, you have an infinite supply of water for our souls. So God, I pray that you just help us to, Lord, to get thirsty. Lord, to be willing to labor. And Lord, that we would be willing to dig some wells for you, just like we talked this morning about digging the ditches. Lord, we need to redig the wells that already exist. So, Father, we need you tonight. Help us to preach, Lord, not through the flesh. Lord, again, forgive us for our sin. Lord, we're unworthy. We don't deserve to stand behind this place, but we sure do appreciate the privilege. And use us tonight to be a help and a blessing to your people. Help us to preach, and under the anointing, the unction, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you might get all the glory out of everything that's said here this evening. Magnify your Son. Honor your word. Exalt your Son by way of your humble servant. We'll praise you in advance for who you are and what you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, Amen. The wells of Isaac. Now again, this follows up on the message that we preached this morning, and there are going to be some similar thoughts, but we'll... Amen. We'll kind of approach it from a different angle as well. Let's get right into it. First of all, there's a deprivation. Verse number one,
And there was a famine in the land. And again, this is not something that is unique to this passage, but all throughout the entirety of Scripture. Not just the worldly crowd, but God's people suffered famine. Amen. God's people, amen, went through times of leanness. God's people went through times of dryness. Amen. God's people went through a time of loneliness. Amen. And discouragement and frustration. Amen. But you know, when that happens, you know, that's a time for God to teach us and to train us and to chasten our lives, to discipline us and to mold us into the image that He would have us to be. Boy, I tell you, friend, God will teach you more through the famine than He will through the time of bounty and provision. Amen. Amen. You won't appreciate the good times unless God lets you go through the bad times. So again, there was a famine in the land. And aside from what the prosperity preachers would tell us, you know, times of famine are normal. In not just life, but in the Christian life. And we don't need to be surprised. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. We should expect the famines. Amen. And again, we find Isaac going through a famine. But look with me at a repetition besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac wasn't going through anything that his father hadn't went through. Amen. Isaac was experienced similar things to what Abraham experienced. And you know, a lot of times I think we have this mindset and this idea that what we're going through in this day and hour is so much different from what our forefathers went through. And in some ways I agree with that, but in others I don't. Amen. Listen, there's been plenty of people went through hard times before you and I have ever born. Amen. The early Christian martyrs, amen, Peter and John and the apostles, those that suffered and had to give their very lives for the cause of Christ. Brother, amen, you and I have never experienced the kind of thing they went through. Our forefathers, you know, we say, well, I wish I'd lived during the day where preaching was popular. Well, brother, preaching's never been popular. I've heard them talk about amen, old Ralph Sexton Sr., and he'd preach over in Asheville, and they said he'd stand on the other side of the street from the bar, and he'd preach, and those old drunk bikers would come out of the bar, and they'd get tired of hearing him, so they'd pick him up and throw him in the trash can. Amen. You live for God, you serve God, amen, there's going to be some hard times. Amen. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some persecution. I think our problem today is we've had it so good for so long, amen, that we think that that the first time the devil raises his ugly head up against us, that something must be wrong. And, amen, we must have gone off track. Brother, that's a sign that you're right where God would have you to be. Amen. So, again, Isaac was experiencing the same kind of trial that his father Abraham had endured. Now there's a petition right here. Is the mistake that Isaac made. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Isaac made the same mistake that Jehoshaphat made in this morning's message. He went to the wrong place for help. Amen. Instead of seeking after the Lord, amen, Isaac went to the king of the Philistines. Amen. And I don't know what it is about God's people, but we think that when we get in trouble, we can go to the world for help. Amen. And so many times we'll go to the worldly crowd 10 times before we will ever will God's people. Or you know, God shouldn't be your last resort, brother. Amen. He should be your natural response. It should be the natural inclination of a child of God not to turn to the world but to turn to God for help. And I believe that a lot of the things that we see Isaac facing by way of temptation and just the hardships, amen, if he had just went to God instead of the world for assistance in the first place, he could have avoided some of the challenges that we see him facing in this chapter. Brother, the world's not got anything to offer you. Yeah. Amen. The Philistines, they might have pretended to be Isaac's friend. Amen. They might have, approached him and presented themselves as if
Amen. They were looking out for Isaac, and they wanted what's best for Isaac. Before it was all said and done, they'd reveal themselves for who they were. Brother, the devil will offer, promise you the world and leave you empty-handed. And that's certainly what was the case in this situation. But again, Isaac, amen, he went to, amen, during a time of famine, leanness, amen, instead of going to the Lord, instead of going to God, the God of his forefathers, Abraham, amen, the God who had provided for Abraham, the God who had took care of Abraham, Isaac turned to the Philistines for help. And brother, there ain't nothing good gonna come out of that. Now there's a location, unto Gerar. Now Gerar is an important, this is an important place that is named multiple times in this chapter. And Gerar, you say, preacher, where was it at? Well, it wasn't in Israel and it wasn't in Philistia. It was on the border. It was like being, my grandparents, they got married. You can go towards Rogersville and you go by a church, and the half the church is in Greene County and half the church is in Hawkins County. Amen. And in order for their marriage, y'all know I'm telling the truth, to be official, they had to make sure that they were married in a certain part of the church, because if they'd been married in the other part, amen, it would have been null and void. It was a border town, so it was a border church, so to speak. Well, that's where this was. Gerar, it wasn't in Israel and it wasn't in Philistia. It was kind of on the border, hallelujah. So we find here that God gives Isaac very specific instructions. Amen. Where to dwell. Where he needed to be. But what did Isaac do? Well, he went to the border. Amen. It's kind of like Taco Bell run to the border. Isn't that right? Hey, that summarizes a lot of Christians in our day. Amen. Instead of being content, in Canaan land, they want to run to the border. They don't want to be in Philistia. They don't want to be in Egypt, but they don't want to be in Israel. They want to have one foot in and one foot out. Amen. They want to remain indecisive. They want to take a wait and see approach. Amen. God said, hey, don't go to Philistia. Don't go to Egypt. And Isaac said, well, let's just wait and see how it goes. Brother, you'll never experience the best God has for you as long as you take a wait and see approach. Amen. That's the opposite of faith. Amen. That's walking by sight rather than living by faith. Well, let's just see how it goes. Well, brother, I'm just going to tell you, amen, you need to trust the Word of God regardless of how it goes. You need to believe what the Bible says regardless of how things go. Amen. But he went to Gerar, the border. He went to the border. Amen. Restriction. Verse number 2. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Now I want to say to you that Isaac here was in danger of following in his daddy's footsteps. Isn't that what Abraham did during the famine? He went down to Egypt. And we see that we see Isaac following and repeating the same mistake as his father in more ways than once. But again, there's a restriction. God told him not to go. There's a satisfaction, verse number 2, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. In other words, stay put where I told you need to be. Be where I, brother, do you know that it's better to be in the will of God, in the place of God during a famine, than it is to be outside the will of God during a time of bounty? Amen. And that's what we want to do. You know, in our day, it seems like the world's thriving. The world's flourishing. Amen. The world's living it up, getting rich, and amen, satisfying themselves on the pleasures of sin for a season. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I think I need to go down to the world. Amen. No, you need to be satisfied with where God put you. The grass ain't always greener on the other side. Amen. The devil, he wants to doll it up and dress it up and make the world look like the best thing going. But I'm telling you, the world has nothing to offer a child of God. And brother, I'm telling you, what we're going to see here is that God is able to sustain his people during a time of famine just as much as he's able to do anywhere else, just like this morning. Amen. Our circumstances, our situation has nothing to do with whether or not God's able to provide water. God can provide water for us, for His people, during the famine and during the desert just as well as He can anywhere else. He's had plenty of experience, hadn't He? Did not He take care of the children of Israel in the desert? They never lacked for water. God made sure one way or another. Amen. He had to turn bitter water into sweet. He had to bring water out of great depths. He had to bring water out of a flinty stone. But one way or another, He made sure His people had plenty of water. Elijah survived the famine. Did God not provide water for the man of God at the brook Cherith? And if God did that for His man, He'll do that for you. And He'll do that for me in our day. So we've got to stay in Egypt, or excuse me, stay in the promised land, even when there's a famine in the land. Bro, that's hard to do. Amen. We want to get antsy. Oh, man, things are going bad. We just need to, amen, we need to abandon ship. Hey, we don't need to abandon ship until the captain gives orders. We need to stay in the boats, what we need to do, brother. As long as Jesus is captain of your ship, you're a whole lot safer in the boat than you are in the water. That's right. Now there's an affection. Praise the Lord. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless you. Do you know that's all you need to survive the famine? You need the Lord's presence, and you need His favor in and upon your life. Amen. I don't care where Joseph was at. God, do you know what? No matter what the devil did to try and defeat Joseph, Joseph flourished and prospered in spite of his circumstances. Whether it was in the pit, Potiphar's house, the prison, the palace, everywhere Joseph went, no matter what the devil tried to do to hinder him and to stop him and to bring him down, God just continued to bless and prosper Joseph in spite of his circumstances. Brother, you know the two ingredients that you need in your life to survive the famine of this world. You need the presence of God, and you need the favor of God on your life. I mean, if you've got those two things, there's nothing hell can do to hold you back. Amen. If you want to make a difference in this world for the cause of Christ in these dark days, I'm telling you, just make sure you've got the Lord on your side and you've got the hand of His favor and blessings in and upon your life. And brother, you just watch and see what God will do. Y'all help me preach tonight. A provision. Verse number 2. For unto thee and unto thy seed I'll give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. You say, preacher, how do you know the Lord will provide for us? Because He said He would. Amen. He'd be a liar if He didn't. Amen. My Bible says that the Lord, amen, I am the Lord and I change not. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac, the same God that provided for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all these Old Testament saints. Hey, it's the same God you and I serve. And if He did it then, He'll do it again. Amen. He said, I'll do what I said I'll do. If you just take me at my word. Amen. And see if I don't come through. Do you know God's faithful? Do you know God's just as faithful in 2024 as He was in 1950? Do you know He'll be just as faithful to my generation as He was my grandfather's generation? Amen. That's right. Amen. The world may change, people may change, the church may change, but God's still the same God. Hallelujah. Multiplication, verse number 3. And I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries of participation. Verse 3. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, brother, this is important. Other people's blessing was dependent upon Isaac's obedience. Can I say that again tonight? Our blessing was dependent upon Isaac's obedience. Amen. Who's not going to get water if you and I bail out on God? For those of us who are riding the fence tonight, trying to figure out whether we're going to stay stay in the land or head down to Philistia, to Egypt. We're taking a wait-and-see approach. Amen. Lord, you do this, I'll stay with you. But I'm just not all in. Amen. We're halting between two opinions. Just like Elijah. If God be God, follow him. If Baal be God, amen, serve him. You know what the Bible says? People didn't answer him a word. They said, we just want to see how it goes. Amen. No man can serve two masters. Amen. Who's on the Lord's side tonight? Amen. We're either for him or we're against him. But what happens if we abandon? If we abandon ship? What happens if we bail out? Somebody, do you know that somebody else's blessing depends upon our obedience and our faithfulness? Right? We can't afford to quit. Amen. There are no reserve forces. Amen. Amen. We got to hold the line at all cost. Right? Amen. Participation, a foundation, verse 5. Amen. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. I feel like I'm missing something here. Let me make sure I'm not skipping. Amen. No, that's right. Listen. Verse number 5, again, the foundation. Not because of what Isaac did, but because of what Abraham. Do you know Isaac was living on the blessings of Abraham's obedience? Did you know why Isaac was blessed and the favor of God was upon his life? Because of the obedience and faithfulness of his father. He was living on the blessing and the bounty of Abraham's obedience. Not what you've done, Isaac, but what your daddy did. Do you know the blessings of our children depend upon our faithfulness and our obedience? Brother, isn't that enough motivation for me to stay by the stuff? To hold the line at all cost. Amen. Nobody, you know, once again, isn't that Noah? Noah prepared an ark. And most of us, amen, if you looked at Noah's life according to the world's standard, Noah's journey would have been considered a journey of defeat and failure because most people rejected him. But you know what? I consider what Noah did to be a resounding success, if for no other reason that he prepared an ark under the saving of his house. Brother, if the world goes to hell, that's on them. I just want to make sure I get my family on board the boat. Yeah, man. It's good preaching tonight. Well, but look at his determination. His stubbornness. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He said, I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're saying. I appreciate what Daddy did, and I appreciate the fact that I'm living on. But I don't want to get too far away from the border because I might need the help of the Philistines before it's all said and done. Amen. He was stubborn and hard-headed. Amen. And he was unwilling to let go of what he saw as being a safety blanket. You know what some of us need to do? We just need to let go of our safety blanket. Amen. Go all in for Jesus. Amen. Quit taking the, I just want to wait and see what happens. No, brother, we don't have time to wait and see what happens. The trumpet's going to sound. It's what's going to happen. Amen. Another soul's going to drop into the flames and fires of a devil's hell. Amen. He said, I'm going to stay in Gerar. We're just going to step back and observe. Well, I'm going to be a spectator rather than to be a participator. Isn't that the attitude of a lot of Christians today? Revelation. The men, you know what we need? We need to get in neck deep. Huh? A lot of these Christians, amen, they're sitting back and watching. In my opinion, if you're not willing to do it yourself, you don't have a voice to criticize those who are doing it. You know, somebody, I saw that, I've heard it before. The way I'm doing it's better than the way you're not doing it. That's right. You may not agree with our witnessing tactics. Amen. You know what? If you put a flyer, a track on somebody's door, they want to complain about it. They got to be a Christian or a church member. Amen. How dare you mess up my? Amen. You put that on my plant. Amen. Why don't you just be thankful somebody cares enough about a soul to tell somebody about Jesus? Amen. Verse number 7, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, did you see the consequences of Isaac's decision to, amen, he wasn't living in Philistia, but he was living close to it. You know what he did? He exposed his wife to the Philistines. Do you know that the closer you live to the world, the more you endanger your loved ones? Huh? And it goes back to what we preached on Wednesday night about Hezekiah was a much more godly man than any of us. But boy, he made one fatal mistake in his life, didn't he? And that he exposed the most valuable assets and resources in the kingdom to the eyes of the Babylonians. Brother, I want to say to you tonight that the devil wants what we have. We may not want God's blessings, but Satan sure does. And brother, the closer you live to the world, and the more you rub shoulders with the world, amen, the more you endanger your most valuable assets and your most precious resources to the lustful cravings of the demons and the devils of this world. Amen? You know, best thing Isaac could have done, gotten as far away from Philistia as he possibly could, but yet he wanted to get his, reminds me a lot. Amen, Lot. Amen. He just couldn't get his eyes off Sodom. Amen. And he saw it, he wanted it, and he got as close to it as he could. And the next thing you know, he was right in the middle of the Sodomites before it was all said and done. He lost his wife. Are we willing to endanger our loved ones over our fleshly appetite for the things of this world? You know, sad to say, for a lot of God's people, the answer is yes. They'd rather let their loved ones suffer than they would, amen, to abstain from their sinful lusts. Am I preaching the truth tonight? God help us all. Deception. He said, she is my sister. We're going to see a behavior of Isaac. You know, again, this is not spirit-filled Christian living by any means. This, you know what this, these are tactics of deception and manipulation. What we see here is Isaac, I'm going to call him Abraham 100 times, y'all just forgive me. But we see what Isaac's doing, he's trying to cover his tracks. Amen? He's trying to hide his sin. It said, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Isaac, outside the will of God, was operating out of an attitude of fear rather than faith. And then there's a manipulation, verse 7, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah. You know, again, he's trying to manipulate things. He's trying to pull the strings and call the shots. And if I do this, this will happen. Brother, when you start doing that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make a mess. Just like Jacob. That's what Jacob was before God changed his name to Israel. He was a trickster. He was a manipulator. Amen. Amen. He liked to operate out of the deceitfulness of his own flesh. Amen. And what he did is he destroyed his life and everybody else's around him in doing so. An attraction because she was fair to look upon. Again, these Philistines, they were craving. They wanted what God had endowed, entrusted, and bestowed upon Isaac. A vexation, verse number 8, and it came to pass, when he had been there a long time. Say, preacher, what are you saying? Isaac stayed too long. Amen. When he run to the border, he didn't just visit, he stayed there. He settled down. Amen. Amen. You know what? One of the best things some of us could do is relocate. And I'm not talking about changing churches. I'm not talking about moving to a new address. I'm talking about, taking up your roots and moving out of the world. He'd been there a long time. You say, preacher, what happens? The more time you spend in the world, the more the world rubs off on you. See, we've got it backwards today. We say, well, I've got to go to the, I've got to be in the world in order to reach the world. Or I've got to be like the world. No, what happens is the more you act like the world, the more like the world you become. Amen. Well, I'm strong enough to handle it. No, you're not. You're deceived, what you are. Amen. The more time you spend in Philistia, the more Philistia is going to, the more you're going to look like a Philistine. Can I say that again tonight? The more time I spend in Philistia, the more I'm going to look and act and behave myself like a Philistine. Revelation verse 8 and 9, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw, and he saw him sporting. And Abimelech called him and said, she's your wife. And why'd you tell me she's your sister? And Isaac said, I was afraid I was going to die. Amen. He was worried about saving himself more than he was his wife. Do you know what happens when we try to cover up our sin? God will expose us. Amen? You say, preacher, what's the best antidote and the best remedy for sin? Confession. Huh? The Bible says, he that covereth his sins, shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. But boy, if we confess and forsake our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm thankful for it tonight, aren't you? Now there's an admonition. I got to hurry. And Abimelech said, what is that, this that thou hast done to us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon it. You know what Isaac did? He did the same thing his daddy did. By the way, this is the same sin that his father committed. Deception, lying. Amen. Manipulating, trying to get out of the mess he had created. But you know what he is doing? He's bringing reproach upon himself, upon his own name, and most upon the God of his fathers. Amen. You know what happens when we start acting like the world and dabbling the world? We ruin our testimony. You say, I don't care what people think about me. You just need to remember that what you do, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself, some of us would be better off not even claiming to be a Christian. Amen. A lot of people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. They wear a Jesus t-shirt and cuss like a sailor. Right? Amen. Keep Jesus off your shirt if you're going to act like the devil. Bringing reproach to the name of the Lord. A protection. Abimelech charged his people saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely... But isn't it amazing how that in spite of Isaac's sin, God still protected him? You know what God... You know what... I'm afraid when I stand before the judgment seat one of these days, the Lord's going to just shake his head and say, boy, amen, you were high maintenance. Amen, I had to spend a whole lot of time keeping my own, you boy. Right? But listen, I'm so thankful that in spite of my folly, God is still in the business of keeping his promise to sustain my life. Now, that doesn't excuse my sin, brother. No, amen. It'd be a whole lot easier if I just went God's way. But I'm thankful that God's able and willing to clean up my mess and protect me from, you know who your worst enemy is? You are. You know, the devil and this world and the devil hadn't caused me nearly as much problem as my own flesh has. Amen? You say, preacher, why? Amen. You know, instead of holding grudges against everybody else, maybe we need to hold a grudge against ourselves, because I've caused myself more problems than any of my enemies have. Amen. Hallelujah. Collection. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Maturation. See, we see that God is preparing Isaac for the future.
Amen. He's growing him. The man waxed great, verse 13, went forward and grew until he became a very great man. God made something out of Isaac in spite of himself. Brother, do you know that if God ever makes something out of your life, it'll be in spite of you? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And brother, anything good in my life is in spite of me, and it's because of Jesus. Amen. A possession, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. He was growing, he was progressing, he was maturing. But look at the aspiration, verse number 14, and the Philistines envied him. He thought, see, when Isaac first arrived at Gerar, he viewed those Philistines as his salvation and his deliverance, his friend. Men, but what he didn't understand is that they had an ulterior motive and they had a hidden intent. And although he considered them to be his friend, they ended up not being nearly as friendly when it was all said and done. Why? Because they wanted something out of Isaac. They were coveting after. Amen. Do you know that not everything that enters into your life is of God? Not everybody that enters into your life is of God. And you know, when somebody comes into your life, first thing you need to do is, Lord, give me discernment to see whether or not this is of God to bless me or it is of the devil to set me up and bring me down. You know, I'm a very naive person, and over the years I've trusted people that I shouldn't have trusted. I put my confidence in people that I ought not have put my confidence in. Amen? But, you know, we need some discernment this day and say, you know, is this person? And you know who the devil, you know what the devil will use more than anything to ruin your life and destroy other people. Amen? And sometimes the devil introduces people into your life. And you need the discernment to see, amen, are they here for my benefit or to help me? Or, amen, are they going to draw me closer to God? Huh? Do you know something that's of God will never push you away from the Lord? Oh, I just know this boy or this girl is sent from God. Well, is he or she causing you to move towards God or to fall away from Him? That's good preaching tonight. Amen. If it's of God, amen, if he or she is of God, they're going to encourage you. They're going to push you towards the Lord rather than away from Him. Amen. They wanted what Isaac had. You know there's people that want what you have. Spiritually speaking, they envied him. Not everybody's for you. Not everybody wants to see you succeed. Not everybody wants to see you prosper. You know what would make this world happy? There's a lot of people in Greenville that would love to hear about Nick Bailey falling flat on his face. Not because of me, but because of who I represent. Amen. Occupation, here it is. Verse number 15, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of his father. Now what I want you to see tonight, the most valuable resource and asset that Isaac had was his wells. But notice it wasn't his wells. Whose wells was it? It was his father's wells. And here's what I want to ask you tonight. What did Isaac do to obtain the wells of his father? Absolutely nothing. He inherited the wells of his father. Can I say to you tonight, and I'm trying to hurry, I promise, but can I say to you tonight, there's some things in my life that I have and possess that are valuable, that are precious, more precious than gold. Amen. The most valuable assets and resources that I have, I didn't do anything to obtain them. God just gave them. You know what? I'm living on the work and the labor of my forefathers. Hey, Isaac was enjoying the wells. Amen. That were endowed and entrusted to him at the hand of his father. How many of the blessings that you and I possess, whether it be as Christians or as Americans, amen, we enjoy these things not because of our own labor, but because of the blood, sweat, and toil and labor of our forefathers. Man, they dug them. I'm just reaping the benefits
of my father's wells.
Obstruction. What did the Philistines do? They stopped them up and filled them with earth. Do you know it's what the devil's done? Do you know what? Y'all still with me tonight, church? Do you know that in spite of the, we're living in the famine, and this morning we talked about digging some new ditches. But you know, rather than digging new ditches, maybe we just need to unstop some old wells. Could it be that there's still some water around? Instead of looking for new water, maybe we need to go back to an old source of water. Amen? Not something that we don't have, but something that we already have, but the devil, amen, stopped it up. You know what we need to do? We need to pour some spiritual Drano into the wells. Say, preacher, wait, I'm talking about sin. Amen. You need to pour some spiritual Drano to unclog, amen, the obstruction that sin. And brother, as long as you got sin in your life, it'll clog up the well. It'll hinder you from obtaining and enjoying the water that God. Again, I said it this morning, there's no excuse for any of God's people not to have water. Amen. If you say, well, I'm believing Jesus Christ, He's the water of life, brother. He is water. Hallelujah. You say, I got Jesus. Well, you got water. Amen. It stopped them up. You know what the devil wants to do? Stop up your wells. What is it that stopped your well up tonight? Amen. It might not be a sinful action. It might not be something terribly embarrassing, immoral. But could it be a sinful attitude? Amen? Boy, it doesn't take much. Could it be that your priorities are out of line? Could it be an idol in your life, something that you put above God? But whatever it is, it stopped the well. Brother, there's nothing that this world has to offer that's worth stopping the well of spiritual water flowing through your life. Fill them with water. There's a separation. Now, I want to say to you that before Isaac could enjoy the fullness of the blessings God had in store for him, he had to get rid of some things. But not only did he have to get rid of some things, he had to get rid of some people. He had to get rid of the Philistines. And you know what? In this situation, Isaac wasn't willing to do it, but God did it for him. Do you know sometimes that there are occasions when somebody leaves your life, somebody abandons you, somebody forsakes you, somebody leaves you, you want to cry and complain and thinks it's the worst thing that ever happened. It could be God knows what He's doing. It might be God's way, God's providential way of removing something that's toxic and poisoning the water of your life. Sometimes when God removes the Abimelechs and the Philistines, we just need to say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, man. Y'all's wasting a good message tonight. Go from us. And by the way, somebody said, well, once I get saved, what am I going to do about my friends? You won't have to do anything. They'll take care of it. Amen. You live right. You live for God. Amen. Those birds that you was flocking with, they're going to scatter in every direction. Exception, for thou art much mightier than we. A declination. But listen, what happened? After they separated from him, where'd he go? He departed thence, and he pitched his tent in what? In the valley of Gerar. Now, he still was stubborn. He still wouldn't leave Gerar. Even though they said, we don't want you here. You've got something that we don't have. You're not welcome here. Yet he stubbornly persisted to stay in Gerar. But I want you to notice it was a valley. Do you know sometimes the place where God will provide water, but the most likely place in your life to find water is at the bottom of your valley. Amen? Isn't that where a lot of
rivers and streams flow is at the bottom of a valley. Amen. You know where sometimes God will bring you? To your lowest place. Because he knows that he can only supply the water you need in life by getting you as low as you can possibly be. Could it be you say, why am I in the valley? Well, maybe God's wanting to get you there so he can give you some water. Yeah, man. Praise the Lord. I love the Bible. Occupation, he dwelt there. Repetition, verse number 18. What are you going to do at the bottom of your valley? He digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Amen? He just went back and did what his daddy did. Do you know that is the recipe for repentance? Amen. Once we have left our first love, and by the way, you don't lose it, you leave it. You know what you got to do? You got to remember whence you're fallen. You got to repent. You got to return. Go back to do what works. Hallelujah. When you make a mess of the situation, just go back and do your first works. Amen. Do you know there's still a formula for revival? There's still a formula for spiritual blessing, and it's the same thing that worked in the days of Papa and Mama. Amen. Termination, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Do you notice that that's when the devil moved in? It's when one generation died off. Do you know that's what happened when my grandfather's generation died? The devil stopped the wells. You know why? Because we didn't maintain them. We didn't keep them up the way that you know, you've got to maintain. If it's going to flow freely, you're going to have to, you got to maintain it. Make sure that it there's a fresh flowing stream through that well. They stopped them after the death of Abraham. Identification. All right, so here we go. And they called the names after the names by which his father had called them. Brother, did you know that the old wells don't need a new name? Amen. Same. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new form of worship. We don't need new methods or new tactics. Amen. The old wells that provided water in Abraham's day would still provide water in Isaac's day. And friend, I'm telling you, the wells of my forefathers' generation will still provide water in my generation. Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmarks, which who? Thy fathers have set. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Excavation. But what you got to do? And Isaac's servants digged in the valley. You know one reason we're not getting any water? Because we ain't doing no digging. God's people today, this generation of Christians is one of the laziest generations. We just want to sit back and expect God to just give it all to us. You got to work for it. You know the best things in life are the hardest to come by. Amen. If you're going to find the water, sometimes you got to dig the well out. What did he find when he digged in the valley? Hey, you got to dig in. You know you can dig your way out of your valley. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Right? Realization, he found there a well of springing water. Doesn't that remind you of Jesus? John 4:13-14, the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 7:37-38, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Brother, you ain't got no excuse not to have any water, because if you're saved, you've got a well of water springing up in your soul. Do you know the world ought to have plenty of water because of we who are saved? A well, a spring. You know, I think that servant was digging. And I believe Isaac was saying, hey, just dig around here. I'm pretty sure this is the place where one of Daddy's wells was located. And he said, well, I've been digging for a while. I ain't found nothing yet. And all of a sudden, he thrust that shovel down into the dirt, and he hit something. Next thing you know, amen, water started gushing up into his face. Amen. He went looking for water. He found the well. How many of you remember the day when you went looking for wet water and the Lord gave you the well? Yep, man. A never-ending supply of water. Competition. The herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. Now, here's what I want you to see, and we're winding it down here this evening. But we see a progression of wells. And I believe that the names of all four of these wells represent this process, this progression of growth, what you're going to have to go through if you're going to, amen, if you're going to get the water. Well, you know, you're going to have to go through some things if you're going to have the best that God would have you to obtain. Amen? The first one, an origin, he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. It's a place of contention or a place of striving. In other words, you're going to have to fight for it. Do you know that's what's happening in our world today? There's a fight raging in this world over the blessings of God. Amen? The world wants what we have. And the devil's fighting, amen, to obtain that which God has bestowed upon His people. God gave it to us, and He intends for us to possess it and to enjoy the blessings of what He has bestowed upon us. But you know who's going to, when it's all said and done, who's going to have it? Whoever wants it most. See, that's why this, well, I'm just going to wait and see. Mentality doesn't cut it in this world. That's why this, well, we're just going to live on, we're going to live on, we're going to live in Gerar and just see how it goes. You'll never inherit the well as long as you take that kind of approach. Amen. You've got to have you know what happens when you just drift? You don't end up going upstream. You got to be willing to swim upstream if you're going to inherit the blessings of God. You're going to have to want it bad enough. Do you know revival is still possible just as much today as it ever has been? The problem is we don't want it bad enough to do what we've got to do to obtain the best that God has provided for us. Amen. So it was a place of contention, a place of striving. That was the first well. But then there was a second well. Second stage, an accusation. They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. You know what happens when you strive and when you, you get serious serving God and, you begin to let your light shine. Those Philistines that you thought were your friends and they turn into your enemies, they start making accusations against you. Isn't that what happened to David when he went to the battlefield? I mean, he was just there. You know, he was doing what his daddy told him, and he got there and he saw that giant speaking blasphemies against the Lord his God. Everybody else was being silent. What did David? He started speaking out. What happened? His brothers accused him. Amen? We know the naughtiness of your heart. You've got bad motives. Brother, are you willing to be hated of all men for Christ's sake? Are you willing to be viewed as an outcast and a troublemaker and amen and being a problem rather than a solution for Jesus? See, not only are you going to have to willing to fight for it, but you're going to have to be willing to suffer as well. It's a place of conflict. It's a place, of accusation and suffering. Amen. But now what happened? Amen. You see what happened? There's eradication. And he removed from thence. See, God had some wells. See, Isaac thought that the wells that God had prepared for him were at Gerar, but in reality they weren't there, they were somewhere else. Sometimes God has to get you out of where you're at to get you to where he wants you to be so he can use you to fulfill his will. He had to get him out of that place that was polluting him, that place, amen, that was, amen, intoxicating his system. Amen, the wells of Gerar were not the right kind of water. They were mixed. They had a little bit of Canaan, but they had some Philistia water too. He had to get, God will never use you until he gets you off the border. Amen. What's it going to take for God to get us off the border? Amen. Verse number 22, a progression. He digged another well. And for that, they strove not. Now look with me here. This is the third well. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Aren't you glad the Lord made room for you? Amen. In fact, I'd say it's not about whether or not God make room for us, will we make room for him? Amen. But it was a place of fruitfulness. But notice with me that Isaac would have never experienced the well of Rehoboth, the place of fruitfulness, until he was willing to go through the place of contention and strife and the place of conflict and suffering. He would never have experienced his Rehoboth unless he was willing to go through Esek and Sitna. Amen. How many of you believe there's a place of fruitfulness for United Baptist Church? How many of you believe there's a place of fruitfulness for your family? But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get off the border. We're going to have to quit drinking that polluted water at the border. We're going to have to find some pure water at Rehoboth. Amen. Completion. And here's where his journey ends. Verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. A dictation. So what happened at Beersheba? Well, the Lord appeared to him and said at the same night, said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. God wasn't going to do it for Isaac's sake. He wasn't doing it because of Isaac. He was doing it because of Abraham. You know, God wants to give us water not for our own sake, but for Jesus' sake. Yeah, man. Adoration, verse 25. And he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent. Continuation, and there Isaac's servant digged a well. We're not going to read the rest of it, only to say that when it was all said and done, amen. Now what happened is, the Philistines, they wanted him, they wanted to make a deal. See, that's what, you know, even when you make progress and even when you get off the border, then the devil comes back to you, wants to make a deal. Hey, friend, you'll never succeed by making deals with the devil. Amen? But what happened? While the devil was trying to make a deal for him, one of his servants was already digging. And we find here that at the end of the feast, he sent him away, verse 31, and then verse 32, and it came to pass the same day the devil was striving, was tempting him. Do you know when the devil tempts you the most and when the devil, battles against you the hardest, it may be that, amen, God's getting ready to introduce a new well in your life. It came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. You know, isn't that what, wouldn't that be great to say at United Baptist Church? You know what draw a crowd here? Now, I'm not, maybe not what you think, because a lot of people are looking, they still want polluted water. But you know, wouldn't it be great if we, amen, if we were, I'm not talking about a fly, but we just say, we found water. Amen. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Sheba.
Beersheba. And in other words, it was a well that didn't go away. It was a well that lasted. You know what Beersheba, you know what Sheba is in the Hebrew language? The number seven. Do you know what the number seven stands for in the Word of God? Completion. In other words, God finished what He started. And can I just say to you tonight as we close, sometimes the journey of God getting us where He wants to get us so He can do for us what He wants to do for us and use us the way He wants to use us. And amen, He'll never use us without water. In order for us to, amen, and He's got to get us to the place. Amen, get us off the border and into the promised land. He's got to get us in the right place. Sometimes the journey's a lot harder than what it could be or should be. Amen, if Isaac would have just left Gerar a whole lot earlier than what he did, he would have saved himself a whole lot of heartache and turmoil. He might not have had to go through the striving and the accusing because he chose to live on the border. But yet, in spite of that, at the end of it all, at the end of the process, God brought him to Rehoboth, the place of fruitfulness. God made room for him. Amen. And then when it was all said and done, God did just exactly in and through Isaac what He said He'd do. God finished what He started, and He gave him a well that's lasted to this very day at Beersheba. Can I say to you, God's not finished with us. But you know what we need to do? We need to redig the wells of our fathers. Amen. Wouldn't it be, I'm telling you, friend, I believe Papaw's water still, and I'm not talking about, listen, it's not our forefathers, it's the God of our forefathers. I'm not worshiping my papa. I'm not worshiping the old preachers. But I'm just telling you tonight that the same water God used to sustain them and their lives is the same water God can use to sustain us in these dark days of famine we're living in. And brother, my heart's cry and my prayer tonight is if we get off the border and get into the promised land, amen, separate ourselves, go all in, go neck deep for God. I believe one day we could confidently cry out and say, we have found water. And brother, that right there would be the remedy to our crisis. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Father in heaven, I preached. No doubt this is what You wanted me to preach tonight. And Lord, I just pray, God, that You'd help us to get thirsty. Lord, tonight's message has went right along with the message that we preached earlier today about digging some ditches. God, we got to do the digging, but Lord, only You are the only one that can provide water. But God, there is water. Lord, we don't need new water. Lord, there's still a cleansing stream. Lord, there's still a fountain of water. Lord, if I'm saved, I've got water flowing out of my belly. That's what the Bible says. Lord, I have access to clear, cool water, crystal, clear water, by way of the Word of God, as well as the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, God, help us to get thirsty tonight. God, help us to trust You when You remove the bad. You take away that which is toxic. Lord, not everybody's for us. Not everybody's our friend. Lord, some people are envious of what we have. Some people don't want to see us succeed. Some people want to see us fall. Help us to trust You when You remove people out of our lives. Lord, God, I don't need more people. I need water. Lord, if I've got water, the right kind of people will come. But, oh God, help us not to be hopeless tonight. Help us not to give up. Help us not to forsake that which will sustain us. Lord, if I don't have water, I don't have nothing. If my kids don't have water, they have nothing. Oh God, help me to keep digging. Help me to be willing to endure the place of contention and strife and the place of accusation and the place of suffering, believing that there's a Rehoboth and there's a Bathsheba at the end of the journey. But oh God, I'll never experience the wails that you have especially prepared for my life until I get away from the border. God, got to leave the border. Got to make up my mind. Got to choose you this day whom you will serve. Got to go all in. Got to get neck deep with the Lord. And then you'll give me that which I need. Lord, help me not to make the process longer than what it should be because I stub up on you. God, help me to get away from Gerar tonight. Lord, help me to know that the longer time I spend dwelling it on the border, the more I'm opening up the precious resource and the valuable assets, my family and my loved ones up to the enemy that wants what I have. Help me to be willing to put up a fight for the wells that you have so graciously bestowed upon my life. Lord, bless during the invitation. Have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray.
There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain so from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
Well, I'm thankful for that tonight, aren't you? We may live in the famine, but God's still able to give us water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hope you've been helped today. Hope the Lord's given you something to sustain you a little further on life's journey. Amen. I'm thankful that for the water that the Lord gives us when we come to church, aren't you? But I'm thankful that I don't have to come to church to get water. I can get me some water at my house. Amen. That woman, she thought she could only go to Samaria to get water. Jesus said, amen, there's coming a time where you don't have to go anywhere to get water. And that is certainly the case. Brother William, you lead us in a prayer of dismissal tonight.
Thank you for all you do for us. I pray you bring us back here at the next appointed time.